Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship. Please take a moment, just open up your bulletin. You'll find in the midsection a copy of our sermon notes, which will help guide you through our conversation that we have this afternoon. In Isaiah's prophecy, it prophesies that God's solution to the problem of a world that is plunged in darkness is Emmanuel, which is God with us. And as we reflect over this Advent season on the coming of God into the world, we often have to ask the question is, why? Why was this God's solution? What is it that God could only accomplish by sharing and coming himself? Last week we talked about in a world of darkness, Christ came to bring us light. To remind us that there is an alternative to the world in which we live. And if you are looking at watching TV at all and you're dealing with all of the noise, right, or the stuff that's floating around about, really, are we getting close to a fiscal cliff, right? How many of you are worried about the Mayan calendar? But a lot of the things that we struggle with, dealing with issues around what's happening in the Middle East, even here in our own hometown, the struggles of people struggling with a sense of darkness in our world. Where do we find that light? Many of you know that we've talked about Eula's son and people that are grieving this time of year. By the way, I should tell you that at different times this season, I've had two different people come to me to talk about people that had committed suicide. Not part of our church family, our church community, but the idea that at this time of year, when everybody else is singing joy to the world, other people feel so alienated and so lost and so confused and so alone. Into a world that is so committed to competition and so consumed with trying to be more competitive, to consume all that we can, Jesus came into the world to say there's a different way. He brought light into the world. But with light, there is a change that has got to happen because light reveals things as they really are. It shows you the path that you should go, and not the path that you're going to stub your toe or you're going to bang into. So it gives you a sense of direction, but it is up to us to walk in that path. So into the world of darkness, Jesus brought forth light. But that light reveals something else. It reveals the next stage. And I want to ask you this morning as we start our conversation, what is it that you're looking forward to for Christmas? Do you have things on your Christmas list? Nobody has anything on your Christmas list. You're just, yeah. And sometimes if you have kids, you just wish for the best, you know, you hope for the best. What is it that you're hoping for this Christmas? But isn't it even worse if you're sitting there this morning and you're saying, you know what? I'm hoping for nothing because I'll bet you'll get it. Don't you want something? You know, and what I mean is not most of the time what happens is our thoughts go right to a toy, you know, whether you want a new computer, a new shirt or something like that. But what if you said, I just want our family to be closer together. I want to see, you know, our church filled to full and overflowing. That's what I want for Christmas. I want there to be more joy in our lives and not more stress. What is it that you want for Christmas? Let me ask you, and across the board, how many of you would like to be pregnant? Get real, right? Now, just so you know.
I did that five times.
Well, Sarah was in her, what, 90s? So, I mean, you're still young. How many of you want to be pregnant? I actually started, I was thinking about this week, and I thought, what does that mean for us? Right? What does that mean to be pregnant? Most of the time, if I said, somebody comes up to you and says, I'm pregnant, obviously, what's the first thing you do? You think of with child. They're going to have a baby. But oftentimes, it has other meanings, right? Have you ever heard somebody say, that was a pregnant pause? There was a sense of expectation. There was something that was supposed to happen there, right? What happens if you said this morning, and I actually thought about doing this, and then I said, no, I'm not, because you won't remember anything that I say after this. If I got up and said, you know, this morning, I'm feeling kind of pregnant. All the ladies are going to get, you know, you're not going to remember anything now. But it means that there's a sense of expectancy. There's something that's happening in your life. There's something that has touched you. You're not exactly sure what. You have to kind of ponder it a little bit. Mary pondered what happened, but it's growing over 9 months, maybe 9 years. But it's growing. God has done something. He's begun. He's planted a seed that will bear fruit. He's done something that you are changing. Your body is changing. Your spirit is changing. Everything about your life is changing. And this morning, do you feel pregnant this morning? Do you feel that God is doing something? You see, the next thing that happens when the light of Christ floods into your life, whether you kind of like it or not, you become pregnant. Pregnant with expectancy. Something is going to happen. And one of the wonders about Christmas is that it's filled with that expectancy. Something is happening. We're not really sure what. We haven't gotten that far. But we're expecting. We're expecting something to happen. And it's that sense of expectancy. Think about if you've ever been around women that are pregnant. They start a nesting kind of attitude, right? They're expecting. They start working on what's about to happen. They go through the rituals of preparing. There's a joy. Some people even say there's a glow about them because there's a joy that has taken hold of them and won't let go. There's something about to be birthed in their life that will change forever the future of their life. When we think about what Christmas means and why did God come in the way that he came. I often think about when God grabbed the angels and the angels come down to announce to the shepherds that this was going to happen. Did the angels ever look at God and say, really? This is the best that you came up with? You're going to go to a teenage girl and be born? Why don't you just snap your fingers? Why don't we part the Red Sea? Why don't we do something like that? This seems, and yet God birthed something in the world at Christmas. The tragedy for all of us is that we've forgotten that birthing process, that expectancy, that deep inside all of us, the Word became flesh. The Word dwelled within Mary and was birthed in a new life. As we continue in our journey, why did God come? We came so that we could experience the fullness of his hope and glory. Let us open up God's word and let it be the seed that begins to transform our lives. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's word? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own. And I believe he has a purpose for my life. Listen to Mary's story and listen to how it unfolds in her life. Now, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we ask that you continue to work within our lives by the power of your Spirit to reveal yourself to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are a rock and our fortress and our Redeemer. Amen. So put yourself in Mary's place. Put yourself in Mary's place. She encounters something beyond herself. If you will, the light of Christ has dawned upon her. The light of God has come to her, and she is terrified. God has come into her life. For those of us that have been living in darkness, that are accustomed to the competitive and consumer-oriented culture, to live in an environment that is dominated by giving and sacrifice and obedience, it seems foreign to us. And it's not unusual to be frightened. But into a world of darkness, this story tells us that God brought light, and that light brought hope. Hope. The joy of this season is the hope that God is coming into the world. But think about, what does that mean for us? What does hope mean in Christmas terms? So most of the time when you talk to little children and you say, "What do you hope for Christmas?" Right? They'll tell you exactly what they want. This is what, you know, I looked in a circular today. How many of you opened up the circular or the newspaper and found all these circulars of things that you could have? And they tell us about everything that will satisfy us. And we say, "This is what I hope for. This is what I want. This is what would make me happy." But hope tells us about the changing of the environment in which we live. Mary experienced the hope that she would be part of God's story, that your life does matter, that you as an individual are not getting washed out by the noise of the world in which we live, but you and your story matter a great deal. That's the hope of Christmas. That where you are and the story of your life, the way you interact with those around you, bring hope to others, and that transforms the world. Hope has come into this world. It came through Mary. And yet I wonder if Mary fully understood what she was signing up for. If you know people that have been pregnant or are pregnant, they have really 9 months to think about what is about to happen. There's a sense of joy and a sense of expectancy. But what if you're Mary and that joy isn't always so blessed because of the rumors and the innuendos and the way people look? Have you ever signed up for something and then you kind of looked back and said, maybe that wasn't such a great idea? Mary had 9 months to ponder what God was doing. She was giving birth to God's Son, and she was giving birth to a deeper faith than any of us will ever know. Mary engaged in what God was doing, and it changed her life. But what does faith mean to us? What does hope mean for us? Faith is when hope gets put to work. See, most of the time what will happen is we will be hopeful. We'll hope somebody will take care of it. We hope that somebody will do something about that. But until it engages our faith, it remains almost a philosophical idea. Faith puts it to work and changes the world. When we see clearly by the light of what God is doing, we're able to move forward and say, not only do I hope it happens, I'm going to engage and make it happen. When we talk about all the things that happened with the Santa shop, we hope that our kids get something out of this. But there are people that engage at a significant personal level that make it happen. All of the ministries that are involved are not just hoping that things will get better. They're about people that are doing all that they can to do good wherever they can. But hope challenges us sometimes. Look at this story and look at how Mary engages in the hope that God has. The first thing that we have to understand about hope is true, lasting hope is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Real hope is a gift that motivates us and changes. And at a deeper level, Mary looks and God comes to her and she's frightened. She's terrified for what's about to happen. And it says to her that nothing is impossible for God. The hope that you have for your own life, what is being birthed in you today and this year, is a gift from God. It's not going to always be easy. Talk to any woman that's given birth. It isn't always that easy. But the joy that comes from it is transformational. Mary is frightened. She's scared. She even is a little excited about what's happening, but it's certainly transformational. When God comes into your life and begins to plant a seed about what is possible, he's giving birth to a new story, a story that's going to change forever your life. So let me ask you, what is God doing in your life that's giving birth to new life? All of the people that are involved with the food pantry, the clothes closet, the breakfast, people that are involved in the ministries with the mittens or the Santa shop or that are dealing with these families for Christmas, they're birthing new life because God stirred something in them. That's the miracle of Christmas. That's the hope that we can make a difference. And they see it through. That's a gift that God is giving to you. The first thing that we understand is hope, real lasting hope, is a gift. We need to be grateful for what we have. The second thing that we have to understand is that sometimes when we get that gift, that hope always comes with a plan. It always comes with a plan. How is the light of Christ going to show in our lives? What are the things that we need to be doing today? I love it the way that the angel, Mary asks a simple question, how is this going to happen? And the angel says, here's the plan. He doesn't go through all of the details. He just wants her to know that God is moving in her life in a substantial way, not in a chaotic way, but is moving her forward. A lot of times, if we look in the rearview mirror of our own life, we'll see the steps that have happened, how this step led to that step, that we are not where we used to be, and we see different events and how they've shaped our future. We're not really sure where the next step is going to be, but we know that God has been with us because hope comes with a plan. In Romans chapter 15, Paul is talking to his friends in Rome, and he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Where does that joy come from? An understanding of God's hope in your life. All joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your hope, your joy is contagious. When you believe it can be done, people rally around you and say, we can do this together. We can make something positive happen. It's energizing when the power of God works in your life because you have the hope of God and you have the plan of what God is doing. But it's going to cost you something. It cost Mary a great deal, didn't it? Her life was never the same. Hope will always cost you a boring life. If you would rather have a boring, comfortable, and convenient life, this is not the place for you. You're going to be on the sidelines wondering what happened. Every time hope comes into your life, it's going to stir you and move you forward. It's going to be exciting, and for Mary, it was transformational. Nobody can ever say that Mary, as a result of this, had a boring life. It says throughout the scriptures, time and time again, Mary looked at what was happening around her, and she pondered these things in her heart. She wondered, what is God doing? I don't always get it, but I know that I'm not in a boring life. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. What causes somebody to say something like that? When was the last time you ever said that to God about a ministry or an opportunity for discipleship? Let it be to me as you have said. I guarantee what it's going to cost you is boredom. It'll be an exciting ride. It may not be comfortable, and it may not be convenient, but it'll be exactly where God wanted you to be. And you will discover things that you never knew. I want to think about for a moment all of the people that participated this week in the Santa shop. I guarantee you, every person that gave of their time and their talents to be there were blessed 20 times over, 100-fold. For the time that they put in. People told me about little kids giving them a hug, for wrapping their gifts, the wonder of seeing all of these, seeing Christmas light up in these little children. But only if you're willing to give your time. And you see that coming back on you 100-fold. It ends with a simple thing. What happens to Mary at the very end of this story? The angels left her. But they didn't leave her the same, did they? When they left her, Mary was pregnant with expectancy. I don't know what's happening. I don't know where God's leading me. I don't know what it's going to be like. But something is beginning to grow in me. I'm not going to be the same anymore. My life has changed forever. Christmas allows that to be a possibility. As a church, we allow that to be a possibility. We invite you into the flow of God's miracles. Invite you to be a part. Invite you to become, to become pregnant. Don't tell anybody that. Allow you to become part of that expectancy. God doing something in and through you for the transformation of your life and the world. Are you feeling it today? Would you join me if it were possible and say, today, I feel pregnant too. God is doing something in my life too. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks. By your grace, you continue to work in our lives to transform us and to awaken us to the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.